Budget battles are nothing new. Anytime there is spending involved, there can and will be fierce discussions and even disagreements between lawmakers of the two major parties. This year in particular, some of the biggest budget battles have been taking place between Republicans themselves, namely Governor Scott Walker and Republican leadership in the Assembly, Senate, and the powerful Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee. Two major parts of Governor Scott Walker's budget proposal have been scrapped, and today he's holding a press conference about one of them, transportation. So, to help our listeners and myself get some context beyond the headlines surrounding the state budget, we've invited two lawmakers from Western Wisconsin to help us digest it all today on the West Side. Good Monday morning to you. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us on Ideas Network stations 88.3 WHWC Menominee Eau Claire and 88.7 WRFW in beautiful River Falls. Joining me in the studio today, I've got Rob Summerfield. He is a Republican state representative for the 67th State Assembly District. He is based in Bloomer. Rob Summerfield, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me today, Rich.
Good to have you. Also joining us by phone, Kathleen Weinhout is a Democratic state senator for the 31st Senate District, and she is based in Alma. Kathleen Weinhout, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listeners, we want you to be part of this conversation as well. All you have to do is pick up the phone, dial 1-800-228-5615, and offer a comment or a question. We have wide open phone lines right now. We're talking about the state budget. There's a lot to get through, and I always worry that I'm not going to have enough, that I'm going to have too much time and not enough questions, but in this case, it's definitely going to be the opposite. So we're going to work through quickly, but if you have a question or if you want to chime in, 800-228-5615. First of all, before we even get into the budget, I want to talk about the state unemployment rate. It was announced recently that Wisconsin's unemployment rate has dropped to 3.7%. Anytime a number like that comes out, politicians, no matter what party, what stripe they are, they want to take credit for such things. So, with unemployment rate going down to 3.7, to who or what do we owe the thanks? And Rob Summerfield, I'll start with you.
Yes, I think a lot to do with unemployment rate in the state of Wisconsin is the policies over the last 6 years with the governor and the Republicans in the Senate and Assembly, making this area, actually the state, more business friendly, getting people back to work, encouraging growth and development. You know, we really are really seeing it here in the Chippewa Valley, especially up in Chippewa Falls with the Mills Distribution Center coming up,
right?
With towed 300 plus jobs, minimum starting at $15 an hour, going around the district talking to other businesses. We are at, you know, almost at a disadvantage of not having enough workers. Was over in a Walmart distribution on Friday, and they had a big sign right along the highway, County Highway B, saying, you know, looking for work. So it's a good problem to have, but that also means we have to be talking with the schools, tech colleges, you know, building the workforce to be addressing these needs. I mean, to have these kind of problems is a great problem to have, low unemployment, trying to find people to fill jobs. And if you can keep continuing with these policies, I can just see this, you know, lasting a long time.
And I was at that press conference with you for the in Chippewa Falls for the Mills Distribution Center, and the CEO at the time mentioned that this was one of the easiest states he has ever worked with.
So so that's where you see, you know, Mills made this big, corporate strategy that they're going to be expanding their stores, and they need a new distribution, and thought Chippewa Falls with that access would be great. So I'm really looking forward for the Chippewa Falls area.
Kathleen Weinhout, I want to go to you now. It seems like any time one press release comes out, another one comes out. And not long after we heard Governor Walker and others touting the 3.7% unemployment rate, you know, lower than, I'm pretty sure it's lower than the national rate, well lower. Then we started hearing about Wisconsin's rating when it comes to business startups. So first of all, your thoughts on the 3.7% and who gets the credit?
Well, who gets the credit is the national economy. The national economy is rebounding, and Wisconsin for 30 years has tracked roughly 2 percentage points below the national economy. It's kind of come and gone in terms of, you know, how far below we are in terms of the unemployment rate. But Wisconsin historically has had a lower than the national unemployment rate, and to say that it is the result of recent policies really ignores all of the evidence that shows us that the recent policies have not been working. All you have to do is take a look at the most recent audit of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. The state has poured hundreds of millions of dollars into tax breaks and tax loopholes, tax credits, tax deductions, but the state cannot verify that those jobs have been created. We're all happy that the distribution plant is opening in Chippewa Falls. But the truth is, our wage rates are lower than the national economy. Our economy has grown slower than Minnesota. It took us longer than the national average, and a year longer than the national average, and two years longer than Minnesota to gain back the jobs lost. So we're not doing so hot once you get outside of Wisconsin and compare us to the national economy and compare us to the historical data. We are last or second to the last, depending on what year you want to pick, in terms of startups. One of the reasons is because people are afraid to take the risk to start up a new company. And there's lots of policies we can do to encourage that entrepreneurship, but frankly, I think one of them is getting rid of the worry of health care, and a lot of people are afraid. I know when I started our dairy farm, this is 20 years ago, but we were very afraid that we were going to have problems with health insurance. Health insurance has skyrocketed for the little businesses and self-employed people. So there's a lot of things we could do to improve startups, and certainly we need to talk about the economy in the context of history and what's happening in the rest of the country.
When you talk about health insurance, are you talking about the uncertainty surrounding what's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act, or are you talking about something that lawmakers in Wisconsin can do?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be talking about both.
All right.
I 10 years ago, was talking about how to change the system in Wisconsin and am still talking about it. I recently introduced a bill to create a Wisconsin-based exchange so that we could use some of the powers of the state to keep down premiums. And I believe that there are a lot of things that the state can do to lower premiums to small businesses and self-employed people. And it's a huge barrier to jumping off that diving board and starting your own business. And when we look at the stats on new businesses, that's where jobs are created in the economy. Why are we falling behind? We're falling behind because there's nobody coming up the pike saying, I got a great idea, I'm going to take the risk, I'm going to start this new business. And that's what causes growth. You could see it just across the river in Minnesota.
So a couple things. There's always the discussion about Minnesota right over the border, but haven't they got a unique situation going in that, you know, the Twin Cities is like a major metropolitan hub. I hear that as a counter to that argument that the Twin Cities is the Twin Cities, and, you know, Milwaukee and Madison are kind of different animals, and especially western Wisconsin. What about that?
Well, I think when you look at the growth patterns in the state, the growth patterns that we see are what are a result partly of what's happening in western Wisconsin. We've seen the Chippewa Valley grow, and of course for a long, long time, the St. Croix Valley has grown, and I think that some of the growth that's happening in Minnesota is spreading over here, and people see western Wisconsin as a great place to live. There are problems in Milwaukee, but there's solvable problems in Milwaukee, and we need to focus on the future. The growth in the economy is not going to come from manufacturing. And when the state, the lawmakers back in 2011, the governor and the Republicans passed the dropping the tax rate through credits, dropping the tax rate to almost zero in manufacturing, even that didn't give us back the manufacturing jobs that were lost in the economy. Wisconsin only gained back about two-thirds of the manufacturing jobs lost. So is this a failed policy? I really believe it is, and we need to look for our growth in other places.
Rob Summerfield, I wanted to go back to you. Thoughts about the the Democrats pointing out this job startup rate mm-hmm. that Wisconsin has compared to other states. Mm-hmm. And also there's a lot of discussion about these are two good questions, I mm-hmm. guess, but a worker training, not having enough skilled workforce. Mm-hmm. So first of all, what do you say when you hear folks saying that, okay, unemployment rate is good where it's at, that's a good thing, but we've got these other problems that do you agree?
With the job startups, I don't think anybody has a silver bullet for that. With me being a small business, you know, really been involved with small businesses pretty much my whole life, I know the risks that are involved with it, the health care, the not finding enough help, you know, working mm-hmm. 70, 80 hours a week. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. I'm always encouraged by looking into ways to make us broadly more business friendly. So people say, hey, you know, we want to start this business, and the government's not going to be in a way regulating this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. So I think over time, there could be more startup, but I don't know if Wisconsin's unique for the studies. I've seen the studies, but I don't know, you know, different states are high up. Are they more in the tech area, you know, like over sure. in California, Washington, Texas? Are they more in the energy fields? You know, right now, Wisconsin doesn't really have that big niche. I think we have quite a wide variety of businesses, but we don't have one complete sector that's really, really booming. Mm-hmm. Going on with manufacturing, I think manufacturing is just a nationwide trend. I don't know when you lose manufacturing if it's ever going to come completely back. So that's why we need to look into different avenues. I know with the school force, with the workforce development, talking to my local high schools, talking with CVTC, you know, we have, and WITC up in Rice Lake, which, you know, we get not in the district, but mm-hmm. is close enough, that they're thinking outside the box, working with businesses, talking to businesses, figuring out what is their need. You know, I know up in WITC, I had a tour with a telecommunications broadband. They're doing state or nationwide classes just because employers have asked. Mm-hmm. So there are quite a few opportunities in our area. It's you got to make sure that the kids, students, 19, 20-year-olds, even 30-year-olds who are maybe looking for a change in careers, that they know there's a lot of opportunities out there. So the more and more we can do and, you know, get the media on it, I think that can help a lot with making us even a better state for business.
The broadband has been a big push. Lawmaker mm-hmm. to the north, mm-hmm. Romaine Quinn yep. has been working on that, mm-hmm. and lawmakers have also put more money into the budget for that. Speaking of just the budget in general, I wanted to ask you, Rob Summerfield, we see a lot of reports, and I certainly played it up, I guess, mm-hmm. during the intro to the show. How divided are Republicans on this budget, just mm-hmm. in general, before we start talking about the individual policies?
I think overall, we're all pretty much on the same page. I'd say, you know, we're 90%, 95%. Mm-hmm. Granted, the last 5%, it's a big hurdle.
Sure.
But I was just thinking about this last couple of days, you know, hearing, you know, are we this divided? I remember, you know, in 09, 10, when the Democrats were in power, it was just a rubber stamp. I feel this is one of the most healthy ways to do it, that we have very different opinions in our caucus, in the Republican Assembly. And I think overall, there's many different wings of us. So this is a great, healthy process to, you know, hey, I don't disagree. I don't want this. So in the next couple of weeks, when we do have to finally come through and pass the budget, I see us come together and working and having, you know, be united on this budget. So I don't think there's much there's disagreement, but it's not like we're not talking to us, that we're yelling. No, we respectfully disagree on a lot of issues, and that's a healthy part.
A couple of things. The rubber stamp issue, you know, there would be a lot of people, I think, that would argue that when Governor Walker and the Republicans took control in 2010, that there was a lot of party, they were all on the same page, mm-hmm. like almost completely in the earlier days, mm-hmm. and that seems to have changed, I think, to some people. But I forgot the second point. But
if you don't mind, Rich, if I could interrupt.
Oh, yeah, sure thing.
Having lived through the 2009-11 budget, I think the first thing I'd say is that the majority party fights with the majority party minority party, because that's where the votes are and that's where the power is. But to go back to what Rob said about about the rubber stamp, nothing could be further from the truth. I lived through those days. I and my assembly colleague at the time, Representative Ann Rachek, created something called the Rural Caucus. I'm sure Rob can relate to this because a lot of the party, the majority population is in an urban area on either side, either suburban or city, and so the rural people oftentimes feel like they're taking the short stick. And we created such a havoc that the Rural Caucus, which is a loose group of legislators, most of them from western Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin, and we threw the budget into a conference committee. Mm-hmm. And the conference committee dragged on for a long time, and the only way that the conference committee was resolved, and this is all the Democrats fighting among themselves, was by our former representative, Mary Huber from up in Rice Lake, and she was kind of the diplomat that helped find the resolution that brought what the rural folks needed. And a lot of it were issues we're still dealing with. It was issues related to, you know, low funding of local government, funding for mental health, funding for roads, funding for rural schools, all the same issues that Rob and his party are now kind of trying to grapple with.
Mm-hmm.
So it is part of the process, and we've both lived through it.
A reminder, we're talking with state lawmakers from western Wisconsin. I'm joined by Rob Summerfield, Republican state representative for the 67th Assembly District. He's based in Bloomer. Kathleen Vinehout is a Democratic state senator from Alma. She is the state senator for the 31st Senate District. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. Our phone lines are wide open. Let us know what's on top of your mind with regard to the state's two-year funding plan. With that, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about transportation, which is one of the biggest hurdles here that folks seem to be talking about with regard to the state budget. I'm Rich Kramer. This is The West Side.
Support for WPR comes from the University of Wisconsin Survey Center, committed to innovative data collection and research designs that advance science for the public good. Info at uwsc.wisc.edu. Support also comes from UW-Eau Claire Continuing Education, offering a master's in professional development through education studies. One Saturday a month, the rest is online. uwec.ly/MEPD.
Good Monday morning to you. I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I am joined by Kathleen Vinehout, Democratic State Senator for the 31st Senate District, and Rob Summerfield, Republican State Representative for the 67th State Assembly District. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We are discussing the state budget, which is in the throes right now. Lawmakers are busy. In fact, so busy that after tomorrow, they're going to be on call, basically, in the assembly every day until the thing is passed. So that's busy. 1-800-228-5615. So with regard to transportation, Governor Walker had proposed bonding, I think it was $500 million, which was the lowest level of bonding in many years, even before his term as governor, he was quick to point out. But lawmakers were leery of that bonding, so the Joint Finance Committee totally scrapped it, which I thought was a pretty bold move on their part. Governor Walker's holding a press conference at 11:30 or something today about transportation. I'm not sure what that's going to be, what he's going to be saying. But Rob Summerfield, where are Republicans at with the budget? I mean, is it going to be in the actual transportation going to be part of the state budget, or do you think it might be a standalone bill?
That's a good question. Right now, where it's at, I think there's a lot of moving parts between the governor and us, especially the Assembly Republicans, that we are looking to come forward to have some sort of agreement that we can all say, hey, this is a good deal at the end of the day that moves Wisconsin forward, not putting it on the futures of our children's back. But this is a negotiation stage. Yeah. Pretty much every time we meet the Assembly Republicans, we're talking about this. You know, what can we do? How can we fund this, you know, going on? So with it being in the budget or not, if it's out of the budget, I don't see anything bad with that, because everything else, school funding, Medicaid, you know, all the other big things we do in the state budget, they'll get the money, you know. Mm-hmm. If you have to sit back and, you know, have a couple months of more transportation debate, I don't see that being necessarily bad. However, I would like to see us, you know, have it all included together. Yeah. Just because it's nice to get everything done for a 2-year budget. But if it does come out that, hey, we still need some time to negotiate with the transportation for a long-term solution, I think that's a fine way to do it. With the overall transportation budget, you know, I think the bonding is still too high. Mm-hmm. My big concerns is, you know, we keep on borrowing. Granted, we had the mega projects in southeastern Milwaukee and Madison, mm-hmm. that kind of got us to where we're at. Governor Doyle raiding the transportation fund in the 2000s kind of put us there. So we're kind of looking to see, hey, yeah, we had these projects. But, however, southeastern Wisconsin, you have to realize up here in the 67th especially, we need money for our town's roads. I'm talking town chairman, town supervisors, mm-hmm. Vita, Gary, Dave, you know, everybody. That's, you know, that's your number one concern is, you know, whatever it is comes out with transportation. We need to get the town, local town roads fixed. They're at, I think, a 300-year replacement. You know, they want to be 80. So we need to take the initial investment in our local towns. And so whatever we come out of this budget with transportation, you know, whatever we do, less bonding, more bonding, raise revenues, cut projects. My biggest concern is at the end of the day, if townships can know 5-10 years, hey, we have a sensible solution of this is the money we're going to get. Now we can go forward on a lot of our projects.
You mentioned revenue. I heard that word in there, and that seems to be, at least in the media, it's portrayed, and Lord knows the media goes for the controversy, and because that's most exciting, but is it as simple as that, that the Assembly Republicans want to increase revenue, a.k.a. the gas tax, or some other form to help with what is being called a long-term deficit in the transportation budget?
Yes, and that's where I think I'm still on the same page, and I think most of my colleagues are, you know, a long-term solution. Everything's on the table. Representative Cuenga came out with a plan, I think, a month ago with a whole bunch of different moving parts. He said, you know, take a look at it, you know, adding the gas, the sales tax onto purchase. But in that turn, we lower the gas tax, and plus with other deductions in your income tax, overall tax rates would be lower, you know, so that's thinking outside of the box. This is one of those that right now, gas tax, it's a fixed, you know, everything else we fund in government with sales tax goes up with inflation. Mm-hmm. Gas tax does not. It stayed in the steady. So, but projects keep on going up. So we have to find some sort of way to get meat in the middle for be able to fund these projects. So, like we've been saying, everything's on the table. We're hoping, you know, 10 years to have a revenue fix. I know the governor last week said tolls. He might be back open to toll roads. So that's another part of the conversation. You know, there's a lot of options out there, but at the end of the day, we just need to come together and say, hey, this is the sensible way to do it, the smartest way for the taxpayers of Wisconsin, and, you know, go moving forward.
Kathleen Weinhout, the old argument is that that Democrats are all about spending money. So where are Democrats in regard to the Republicans in the Assembly in terms of raising revenue for the state's transportation?
Well, first of all, I'd say that so far Republicans have all been about spending, borrowing money and spending it. And the problem with the transportation fund is that there's been a lot more spending than money coming into the fund, and that's been made up by the governor in the past many budgets by a great deal of borrowing, so much so that by the end of this budget, almost a quarter or 22 cents of every dollar is going to be spent on debt, which is why you hear folks say that the current path is unsustainable. Eventually, there won't be any roads built, and if we keep going down this path, and all the money will go to pay off the borrowing of the past. I would take issue with what Representative Summerfield said about the fault falling on Governor Doyle years ago. Yes, of course, back in the early 2000s, when the governor was faced with massive cuts to schools and a completely controlled Republican legislature, he took money out of the transportation fund to pay for schools. But since then, whether we're talking about the recession or since Governor Walker has taken over, in fact, the general fund, which is used to pay for schools and health care and local government, has been funding the transportation fund. And I counted up all those dollars in this budget that, as the governor proposed, and it's about $325 million that's being stolen out of the general fund that pays for schools and health care to pay for roads. So the raid has gone in the opposite direction, and it's done because the fund is unsustainable. Two years ago, the former Secretary of Transportation put together a 600-page budget, and it was 24 different issue papers. I read through all of those issue papers, and former Secretary Gottlieb had a lot of ideas of what could be done to fix the fund. And there isn't a single answer, as I know Representative Summerfield knows, because he's been through a lot of ideas, and I'm glad that folks are coming up with ideas. I think that's the way it's going to be solved. But it's a lot of little things that has to happen. For example, the state owns 624 miles of freight rail, and I bet taxpayers didn't realize that they were the owners of a railroad line. And the railroad line, 80% of the maintenance on that railroad line is paid for by the state of Wisconsin, most of it through borrowing. And Secretary Gottlieb suggested a modest $10 a car fee to the railroads to pay for the use of that line. Well, I'm not so sure that most constituents of mine really even want the state to be in the business of owning a railroad line. But if we do own a railroad line, it only makes sense to charge a fee to travel that railroad line and to pay for that maintenance, and that's not being done. So that's a really simple fix. It's not going to solve this whole problem, but it's one of those ideas of, you know, a little bit of change here, a little bit of change there. Everybody pays a little bit, and nobody pays too much. And I really don't like the idea of toll roads. I think that toll roads are going to make us more like Illinois, and that's something we don't want right now.
There is a lot of there are some jokes, I think, that have to do with people from Illinois, but I'm not going to mention any here. But so with regard, you know, the railroad increasing the fees there is one idea. There are a lot of ideas out there. The question I've got is how much more money do we need? Is that even agreed upon in either of the parties? How many more hundreds of millions or whatever? Kathleen Vinehout, do you? Because I know that you're always doing alternative budgets. What would it take for us to solve
the... to actually keep us sustainable moving forward, it would take more than $1 billion. Obviously, what we spend has to be brought down in addition to finding efficiencies in the system. So there's a lot of different ways to do this. We're spending more, state spending more than the state has, and it can't continue to be made up in borrowing. There was a very large, very complicated, and very helpful audit that was done by the Nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau that showed that the state lawmakers did not have the information when they took up the budget to be able to make good decisions about what programs, what roads, big road projects should and shouldn't be done. And a lot of the decisions were being made by DOT as they went forward. So they, you know, would increase one road from original estimate from six lanes to eight lanes going around Janesville, and it cost $500 million more. And all these things, that decisions that should have been made by the legislature were being made by the Department of Transportation officials, and in some cases the projects were four times what the original, what they call enumeration or the original estimate was. So the whole budgeting process has to be changed to really tamp down the amount of spending decisions that are made by the people in DOT as opposed to the people that should be writing the budget, which are the lawmakers. To Speaker Voss's credit, he asked for a lot of details from the Department of Transportation, and I think those details need to be looked at very carefully before the spending decisions are made. But, you know, to answer your specific question about how much we need, it depends on how much spending is cut. And, of course, how much is going to be borrowed, and I don't think either party wants to borrow, and we absolutely cannot borrow the way that the state has been borrowing.
Rob Summerfield, it's the same question to you. Do Republicans have a number that they would like to hit with regards to either a combination of savings and revenue increases or just revenue increases?
I mean, that's where there's nothing set, you know, in stone, especially last 6 months with the Department of Transportation having different numbers,
yeah.
You know, changing the numbers and stuff. So until we get the complete, you know, number, you know, because I'm a numbers person with business, you can say the long term, this is what we per year.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say we're looking, you know, $300 million biennium, you know, so over the long term, you knock that $1 billion in debt, hopefully down to $500 million, $400 million, because there is some truth to the argument with road funding. It's like your house. You don't just flat out buy your house because it's you can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an investment for 30, 40 years, so you pay it off in 30, 40 years. Same thing with roads. You know, currently we are way too high of borrowing, but, you know, there will always be borrowing for roads just because you have to pay them off in 40 years.
Yeah.
So to find that balance is, you know, I've heard, you know, $400 million, you know, those are numbers we can all sit back and at the end of the day, hey, what's the smartest decision to use?
Gotcha. Let's go to the phones. We've got our first caller of the morning. Joel and Ladysmith, are you there?
I am.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I just found out over the weekend that Representative Clefish introduced several things into the budget, you know, kind of last minute that have to do with hunting. And it's so frustrating that the legislature continues to throw things into the budget as a way to either change laws or make a new law that have never been reviewed by the groups that are impacting it. You know, and on the other hand, they're not supporting things that the people want because they're afraid of retribution from the governor. It's so frustrating to be involved in organizations that are working hard to improve, you know, the stuff that is important to me and have the legislature intentionally trying to pervert all of those processes.
Joel, if I could jump in, what hunting provisions are you talking about in particular?
Well, the stuff that it was in the budget last week and passed on a party vote was to eliminate carcass tags for deer and turkeys entirely.
Oh,
to make it so you don't have to register your goose harvest until the end of the season. You know, it makes regulation almost impossible for the conservation wardens. And, you know, it's something that has never come up. They're trying to fix a problem that doesn't exist.
Sure, sure.
And they've avoided the Conservation Congress and the Natural Resources Board and the Department of Natural Resources. Those are thousands of people that have dedicated their lives to, you know, improving our natural resources in the state. And Representative Clefish, with a stroke of a pen, is going to change stuff that is a negative. And, you know, this is just one example of stuff that happens hundreds, if not thousands of times every time in the budget cycle.
All right. Thanks for that, Joel. I appreciate it. I'm going to kind of boil that down because I'm not completely sure about the specific proposals. I know that we have changed how we tag deer and all that. Nonetheless, there's this 999 motion that a lot of people are upset about. It's basically this Joint Finance Committee, the way it is structured right now, has the ability to write law on the fly. They can introduce this motion, which has... in the last budget, there was some issues with regard to open records and whatnot. So, Rob Summerfield, I'll start with you. There has been some discussion about scrapping the 999 motion, but Lord knows both parties use it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're in power, it's a very convenient tool to get your legislation through. So, any thoughts to Joel's concerns and any thoughts about scrapping 999?
Yeah, kind of two different issues. For what... the caller said, we all can put budget motions. You know, assembly senators, we are part of the process, which makes this kind of a cool process.
Yeah.
That's saying, hey, joint finance, you know, takes the governor's budget, rewrites it, but also they'll take input from us. So I'm assuming what happened with that situation, Representative Clayfish said, hey, this is something I would like to see in the budget, fiscally, whatever, you know, he can insert it. You know, and joint finance gets a vote on it. So that's completely different from the 999,
right,
which is this has an open hearing, you know, everything. The 999, being new here, I've heard the past stories of 999s about a lot of bad things, or not bad, interesting things get put into it.
Yeah.
We're hearing rumblings that some stuff are being put into it or might be put into it. I know joint finance, I've said they don't like to do this, but at the end of the day, I don't know if there's been a budget ever that doesn't get this stuff in there. It's part of the process. I don't think it's a good part of the process, but it is. I'm hoping most of it, it's be minor stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's too hard to say.
All right. So if a bill came through that said abolish 999, yay or nay? Is it that simple? Can I do that?
I won't know. Just because I don't know the legality, constitutional,
sure.
to say that, hey, no, this is... We could pass a bill to do it. I don't know if he could. I mean, if he could, I would be definitely interested in looking into it.
All right. Kathleen Vinehout, are you familiar with the – because I'm not – the specifics with the Joel Clayfish and the stuff introduced into the budget? I feel like that might have been in the last budget, but I'm not sure.
Well, there are a lot of changes related to registering deer, and everybody that hunted and registered deer last year.
Yeah, yeah.
We all had to worry about keeping our tags in little plastic bags, and of course it was really crappy weather.
Right,
and
the rain.
Everything was wet and raining and snowing and windy and et cetera, et cetera. And we had to worry about the new system. But what Joe is talking about is eliminating those tags totally, and that's a serious problem. And especially when you couple it with the administration's desire to cut scientists from the Department of Natural Resources. Last budget, about 66 science positions were cut. This budget, a total of 43 positions in natural resources are cut. As near as I can tell, about 40 of those, or the vast majority of those, are scientists. The governor is also eliminating the Division of Science, which this is one of those things that really keeps me up at night. I just don't know how the state can manage our most precious natural resources without all of the details that come through the Division of Science. And we're simply not going to have the information to make good decisions about how to manage our precious natural resources. And take, for example, our deer herd. We cannot manage them if we don't have the science. And over the years, Wisconsin has been a huge success story in managing natural resources, but we've done it through science. We've done it through population. We've done it through studies. We've done it through field work. We've done it through the hundreds and hundreds of hours of people who help the natural resource people keep track of what's happening. Whether we're talking about panfish limits or chronic wasting disease, science is extremely important in helping us have the beautiful state and the abundant natural resources we need. I look back and I think about how Conservation Congress, their voice has been eroded. It started in 2011 with the passage of a bill that took away that direct power of Conservation Congress to speak directly to the Natural Resources Board and say, here's what the people have decided, here's what the people have voted on, here's what the people who actually do the panfish fishing have seen, and this is how we need to change the rules. And I worry that we're on a very bad path that's going to lead us to threaten the very reason why so many of us call Wisconsin home. This is a resolvable situation, but we should not be eliminating the Department of Science and all of those wildlife biologists that keep track of this. Regards to the policy and the budget and the 999 motion, these are two different issues, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
The the 999 motion is sometimes has to do with policy and sometimes it has to do with money. Maybe there's no way we can eliminate a last-minute motion that has to do with money. But and if they don't have 999, they'll call it 998 or something else. But we can make a concerted effort as lawmakers to get rid of policy in the budget. Everything that's not related to the budget doesn't belong in the budget, and we need to have a separate hearing on that. And even some of these really big changes, like one of the committees I am on just considered the change that would change about $500 million in property taxes for business that would go away, and that money would be backfilled by money from the general fund that pays for schools and UW and things like that, really important things, that money wouldn't be there for the schools and the UW. So I don't think these big changes should go through the budget, and they should definitely not be added at the last minute. But, I see all kinds of evidence that are making me think that this is going to happen in the next few weeks, and it's not good. It's not good because the public does not have input. People cannot provide input. So for all those people that are not happy with what's being talked about, I strongly encourage you to call your legislator, because your legislators and the people on the Finance Committee, because now is the time that these decisions are being made. And thanks, Joe, for bringing this up.
With that, let's take our final break here on the West Side. We got through one topic, I think, and we've got about 10 minutes left. So we'll be right back with Kathleen Vinehout, State Senator for the 31st State Assembly District, and Rob Summerfield, Republican, for the state representative for the 67th Assembly District. 1-800-228-5615. We're going to talk self-insurance, K-12 funding, you name it, when we come back with more West Side.
I think employers would be happy to match what you're doing. Their employees, they would love for the organization that they work for to match contributions. Public radio is for the public. It's a wonderful institution. If it didn't exist, it would need to be invented, especially these days where there's desire really to have good, solid information. I think Wisconsin Public Radio provides that. I'm Miguel, and the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, my employer, matches my gift to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Dells, featuring more than 200 water slides, 80 restaurants, and championship golf. More information is at wisdells.com. Wisconsin Dells, the water park capital of the world.
Hunt Hill Audubon Sanctuary hosts the annual Hit for the Hill Golf Scramble fundraiser Friday, June 9th at Butternut Hills Golf in Sirona. Register as a foursome or an individual. Cash prizes, hole-in-one prize, silent auction, and more. Details online at hunthill.org.
This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the state budget with lawmakers from Western Wisconsin, namely Kathleen Vinehout and Rob Summerfield. Mr. Summerfield is a state representative for the 67th Assembly District. Ms. Vinehout is a Democratic state senator for the 31st Senate District. 1-800-228-5615. Self-insurance. We're going to have to be brief in our discussion about these topics, Representative Summerfield and Senator Vinehout. But did the Joint Finance Committee make the right move in getting rid of Governor Scott Walker's proposal to have the state insure its own employees, take on the risk? Rob Summerfield.
Yes, I think they made the right decision. Just because there's so many unknowns. Saying that, going forward, if we could find out, hey, more of a safer way that we have more reassurance that this is what the numbers are going to be, you know, that's something we should look into. But I they made the right decision.
Senator Vinehout, there were dueling press releases on that day that the Legislative Fiscal Bureau came out with some analysis. Governor Walker's Department of Administration basically said, hey, look, we're going to save between $30 and $64 million. We're going to avoid this $18 million Obamacare tax. At the same time, Republican John Nygren on the Joint Finance Committee said that the same report highlighted miscalculations. So which is it? And were they right to pull it?
Well, in some ways, they were both right, but I strongly support what Representative Nygren did. The rumor in the Capitol is the governor went shopping for an actuarial firm that he could find to give him the numbers he wanted. And he found that Say Anything firm and trumped up the numbers, and really this is all about a couple of big contracts to a couple of the friends of the governors. That's no way to run the ship upstate. Absolutely not. We have a system that's working. Healthcare is an issue. There's a lot of things we can do to improve it, but handing over the whole entire state employee system to one or two big or three big insurance companies is not going to solve the problem. It's not going to save the state much money, and in the end, it's going to be a bad business decision as well as providing poor care. So, yes, we need to fix health care. Is this doing it? No, it's taking us in the wrong direction, and the Finance Committee made the right decision.
The Fiscal Bureau paper also mentioned that the Group Insurance Board was intentionally building reserves far above their approved reserve policy. Nygren went as far as saying that the reserves were built on purpose to prepare for self-insurance. What does that mean, Senator Vinehout, quickly?
What it means is that the folks that are running the state employees' health system knew that the savings was not really there. They had their own study that showed that the whole system that the governor proposed could cost $100 million. They knew they were going to have trouble, and so they were holding back money and building it in reserves. These little pots of money, and they add up to a lot of money. They're not little in terms of dollar amounts, but they're in different parts of state government, have caused great concern for the legislators on the audit committee in the past. And there are no sacred cows, whether it's the University of Wisconsin or the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation or the Group Insurance Board. I believe all these funds need to be looked at very carefully, and the best way to do that is with an audit. And there were a number of colleagues of mine that are saying, hey, that money needs to be looked at by the nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau. I think we're going to have that discussion, and that's a good thing.
Possibly auditing the Group Insurance Board?
Auditing the reserve fund,
yes. The reserve fund, okay. Representative Summerfield, there was something that came up in this whole self-insurance discussion. Mm-hmm. Governor Walker said that if the state doesn't go to self-insurance, there could be up to a 10% hike in state employee health insurance premiums. And full disclosure, I am a state employee. Mm-hmm. All WPR employees are mm-hmm. through the UW system. So is the governor using this as some kind of a bargaining chip, or what do you think that's about?
Yeah, I think that was one of the proposals or one of his arguments of, you know, moving to self-insurance. But I think from this point with the reserves, I know we audit. I heard the audit would take us at least 6 months, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll
but,
take time.
You know, this is what the big picture thing is we need to figure out with the health insurance for state employees, digging deep to have the real numbers so we know how to plan and, you know, where we're actually at.
Where to start from. Gotcha. Dave and Frederick, you're going to have the last, you're going to be the last caller today. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
I'm concerned about the governor's proposed bill on education and education funding. Living up here in northwestern Wisconsin and teaching up here for 31 years, I'm concerned that all of a sudden he's going to put money into schools up here for the next two-year budget. But my question becomes, and is that just a ploy to get himself reelected? Because for the last few years, we've been paying money to provide schooling for private schools and charter schools in the southern and the eastern part of the state. And none of that money has been coming to us here in the northwestern corner. And sure, we're hurting.
Well, Dave, I got you loud and clear. Thanks for that question. Rob Summerfield, I'll go to you. With regard to the governor was proposing $649 million boost, which is huge, huge amount of money in this next two-year budget. The schools had been crying for more mm-hmm. state aid for decades. Now Republicans in the Assembly are reportedly talking about pulling $90 million from mm-hmm. that. Where are they on the K-12 funding? And also to Dave's concerns that mm-hmm. this might have been an election year mm-hmm. tactic.
Yeah, I guess for where the Assembly Republicans are coming in, our proposal puts actually more money into the schools than the governor's proposal does. Part of his goes to pay down debt mm-hmm. on referendums. So this is where this is just an idea, which I think you're getting the point, the Assembly Republicans, we have ideas.
Yeah.
You know, these are thing is the big part with Assembly Republicans issue is this money will help some of the low spending districts catch up to the higher spending because in 92, 93, they're frozen. you know, at certain levels, at 6, somewhere 13. And our proposal will help some of the low-spending districts get closer to the medium income.
The argument being that the districts that were being very conservative with their spending kind of got trapped.
Yeah, got trapped. So this is one way to look, you know, shifting money around. Still, overall, this is still the biggest increase ever for public spending. So this is, once again, part of the plan. You know, we vetted it. We had it last week, been slowly looking through it. I'm taking my time looking through it. You know, how does it affect my district? Because with Bloomer, Chippewa Falls, to the rural Cornell, New Auburn's, different districts.
Right.
So we're just crunching the number to see overall, is the Assembly Republican better for the state and the district?
Very quickly, with the idea of eliminating the state property tax, which would cause a loss of more than $400 million, maybe $500 million in state aid, how does that balance with the increasing aid to schools?
Yeah,
can it be done?
Yeah, I think because with the state property tax that gets shifted to GPR money,
sure.
So it's... Once again, it's working with the budget we have, shifting the money all around. So, you know, I'm confident that we're going to have a very good education K-12 funding. What's the exact number going to be at right now? That's why I'm going to Madison tomorrow morning to figure out the best forward for the district.
Senator Vinehout, we've got about a minute left, so I hand it to you.
Thanks. Dave brings up the problem with the way that the state pays for schools, what we call the state aid formula, which has hurt rural schools, schools with kids in poverty, schools with kids who speak English as second language, high special ed costs, low spending districts. All of these schools are hurt because of the way the state pays for aid. The answer is we need to change the way the state pays for aid, and we can do that with just about the same amount of money. We can completely change the formula. It's a proposal that Superintendent Evers has put forth in 4 budgets now. The governor totally ignored it. He put his new money outside of that formula rather than fixing it. We need to fix it, and we can do that with the money that's in the budget. I show how all these numbers work in an alternative that I proposed to the governor's budget, and I'd encourage people to take a look at the alternative and to come to some of the town hall meetings where we talk about these choices. It's all about choices, and that's what's going to be done, and people need to learn and let their voice be heard.
Speaking of alternatives, there's a number of people looking to be the alternative governor of Wisconsin. Kathleen Vinehout, are you going to run?
I am actively exploring it.
All right. Rob Summerfield.
I will not be running.
You're not going to be running?
No, okay. So you take my name out.
All right, I will. Thank you to both of you. Rob Summerfield is a Republican state representative for the 67th Assembly District. Thank you. And Kathleen Vinehout is a Democratic state senator for the 31st Senate District. Excuse me. Thank you both. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.
Hey, thanks, Rich.